Hello and welcome to episode 56, season 2, episode 11 to be exact, of the D Hoop University podcast. This is your host, Daryl Harris, also known as D Hoopster. And today we are here to talk some WNBA and a little bit of NBA. And that is a balance of power that has shifted on the podcast, on the timeline, at your job, in the grocery store. Like, it's a moment that's going on, and that's what Terrell and I talked about for the good chunk of this podcast. I had to introduce everybody to the Lady Hoopsters. Shout out to the Fantasy League. The guys fired up. They rolled with me. We have a Women's Fantasy League going. The Lady Hoopsters are established. You'll meet the roster on this episode, and we'll walk through how the draft went. We'll give you some first impressions on the new season, who are some contenders that we're watching. Of course, we're going to talk about Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, the Aces, the whole nine. And I will say, because this was recorded before Thursday night's games, shout out to Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves collectively. I asked, was somebody going to make a moment and force a game seven out of the series that were still unfinished? We are getting at least one. We'll see if we get any more tonight. And I said that Caitlin Clark might go off in her second game. Spoiler alert, that didn't happen. Now, this doesn't take away from the conversation, but I would be remiss to let y'all listen to this and be like, oh, he was mad wrong. So, hey, we're wrong sometimes. Definitely happens. Without further ado, folks, we're going to get right into it. Like, follow, and subscribe wherever you are listening. Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Good Pods. We appreciate your support no matter what. And let's get right to it, folks. Let's talk some hoops.
Well. Resident, D Hoop University, NBA. /WNBA insider. He is on the floor. He's on the front lines. Our guy, Chief Talk That Talk. We got Terrell in the house today, virtually. T, what's good, bro?
What's good with you, brother? I'm living a dream, brother, as always. I appreciate you for having me.
Yeah, man, that's definitely what time it is, because we got NBA playoffs going on. WNBA season just kicked off, and spoiler alert, the WNBA is the lead today.
I'm with it. Smart man, you're going with the times. I like it.
We're just going to have to normalize that. You know? We're going to get into that in just a moment. We got some shout-outs, because I realized I forgot shout-outs in the last episode. And I'll run a few off, T, and let you get some in, too. But I just want to have to shout-out some Pod alumni that are going crazy out here. Shout out to Mylan Makes. Demo Days out now. Tape is going crazy. I've given it a spin already a couple of times. Shout out to the Broski. Thanks for coming on here last summer and telling your story. That was right before the first single dropped. First song ever, period. Wrote and performed already. Like I said, tape's going up. You'll see it on your TL soon. Shout out to Big Jace. Big Jace is going crazy with some lyric videos. I think it was Wow or Whoa went ridiculous. You hear him on the intro every pod. You will get an in-depth episode with the man himself in due time. Shout out to Davey D, man. We had David Hawkins on here last summer as well. And he works in film and movies and TVs and Hollywood, I guess you could even say. And he had a credit on the Pop-Tarts movie that he shared. He worked on Unfrosted. So if you need to see a film, go check out Unfrosted. I haven't seen it yet, but I actually want to. It's directed and produced by Seinfeld and all of that too. But shout out to some of the guys, man. The guys just out here doing a thizzle. We love that.
As always, brother, as always. I'll keep it short and sweet today. I just want to give a shout out to my family. Just dealt with, or I guess we're dealing with, a loss in a family right now. Just a lot of ways that it could go, obviously, when you deal with a loss. And And obviously it takes some time to adjust to, and it takes some time to, I guess, get back used to your new reality at this point. So I definitely am dealing with some heavy hearts around me. So it's my job to kind of, you know, uplift everybody and make sure that they're staying in the right headspace. So I want to definitely say shout out to my family for that.
Real, bro. That's really real, man. And that's why I like doing this off the top, man. The human element is always there in this art of podcasting, which we could talk about whatever it is, but real life is always real life. Loss is as real as it gets. We just had Mother's Day. Shout out to all the moms. And something that also doesn't get thought about as much either is that these holidays aren't a happy time for everybody. You know what I mean? And case in point, you know, it's just like you never know what the next person's going through. So just a casual reminder, you know, as we interact with folks and do our business, that hey, be kind to folks, man. You don't know what's going on.
Indeed.
Trying to talk some hoops.
I'm always down for that.
The WNBA, man, the season is here, and it didn't take long. Caitlin Clark is breaking records already. Her debut game on ESPN was the highest rated WNBA game on an ESPN platform in the league's history. Drew over 2 million viewers, peaked at, I want to say, 2.5 or so. I was one of them, of the people who were channel flipping and was like, honestly, I'm not tripping on this Nuggets game or whatever game was on at the time. It was like, yeah, y'all not going to do the WNBA, NBA split screen? Well, then I'm going to just watching the Fever. What can I say?
To be honest with you, I was not one of those 2 million that tuned in. I was actually getting ready for another game that night. But interestingly enough, I think Caitlin is going to do exactly what Caitlin is doing right now, right? I think she's going to turn her head. So I think it's great for the sport. I think anytime you get somebody that's that awe-inspiring, right? And I mean, bigger than that, she's an enigma, man. Not everybody likes her. So I do even like mm-hmm. that aspect to her. I don't want to give her the Floyd tag now, but right, it's a little too, well, it's way too early to do it, but I want to give her that Floyd tag just in a sense of people tuned into Floyd's fights to see him lose or win. Like that's kind of where people are at, even still to this day with Floyd. You know what? Let me go ahead and say Jake Paul. Let me say that, right? People want to tune into Jake Paul fights, whether he wins or loses. And I think this is the Caitlin Clark effect. I think this is going to happen with Andrew Reese. We see it happening, right? I think the more eyes that hop on this sport, this is going to happen with these college kids once they get to this league. I mean, because I haven't been back home since the draft, I don't believe, but I'm pretty sure LA is raving about Cameron Brink as well. So, I mean, this is exactly what we wanted the league to look like and where we wanted the league to go. So I think everybody who was hoping for this should be happy for it.
Yeah. And you know where I'm going to take it. I'm taking it to the wrestling ring.
And let's do it, man.
I think I sent some middle of the night tweet, you know, during the women's tournament, just saying, look, to your point, yeah, Caitlin has haters now. And comparing to Floyd, Jake, I might have said, I might have compared her to John Cena in a tweet, that as quickly as everybody loved you and was behind you, as soon as you do reach that level, it becomes almost split 50-50. The support is equal to the divisive comments.
Absolutely.
Love you at the same time. And yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot of commentary on it right now. A lot of people who are, I don't know, I got some feelings about it, but a lot of people who want to feel quick to say, hey, told you so. Told you she was going to struggle. Told you
right.
It wasn't going to be no cakewalk.
Right.
And to that sentiment, I sort of say, I mean, she dropped a cool little dub at the same time. And
but see, I think to those naysayers too, they'll also highlight the ten turnovers, right? And I think when you went to wrestling, I thought the first thing I thought about rather was pre-injury Daniel Bryan, right? Like, had all the fandom in the world, then became a world champion. And there were some people that was there from day one that was kind of like, all right, well, I'm kind of over this now. Now I want to see what it looks like from a different angle. And I think that's kind of, again, what you're talking about with the Caitlin Clark. But going back to the Daniel Bryan point, going back to the Jake Paul point, Floyd, John Cena, anybody you mentioned, there's ebbs and flows, right? Right. I guess Floyd is probably the only one that doesn't really have the ebbs and flows, but there's ebbs and flows in everybody else's careers. There's ups and downs. And when you look at somebody like Caitlin Clark, I thought she had the best response to those 10 turnovers. Of course, she's going to get asked about it. She said, you learn from it and you move on. Dog, what do you want her to say? And like, this is game one of her WNBA career. We're moving on. Well, that happened. I can't take it back. We're moving on. No, if I have nine, the next game, I improve.
And exactly, it, pretty much to say, hey, yeah, you might want to get, you know, have a word at the moment. Just you wait. Bated breath. A month in, 2 months in, I don't think this team is going to end up in the playoff hunt. I mean, you could be in the playoff hunt. I don't think they'll end up making the playoffs. I want to talk about some teams that we think are going to be contenders in just a few minutes. But
let's do it.
Oh, I think the curve. I think she's going to have a Wembanyama season to where, okay, give her a couple weeks to just sort of get her proper legs. But if you, case in point, evaluate that first game, she made probably some of the most difficult shots in that game. Only a third actual game, including preseason, with her squad. I love the coach. I need to get the coach's name so I can give her a shout out. But I think the coach approaches the role of coaching her and the spotlight that it presents the complete right way. I think that she is the woman for the job. But another comparison I had for was Lonzo Ball, because Lonzo's debut, much attributed to his dad, man, there were some pros chomping at the bit to be like, all right, let this light-skinned fool come in here. I'm pulling my shorts up and it's go time. He's going to feel pressure for 48 minutes or however many minutes he's on the court. Game one, they played the Clippers. I did a little research earlier. They played the Clippers, what was this, 2017, I believe. They had Pat Bev, DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin went off that game for like 28 and 13. You know, Blake doing Blake.
Sounds like Blake. Sounds like Blake.
And remember Pat Bev clapping, throwing the ball at him, stepping over him, and Lonzo had a stinker. Stinker, not a Caitlin Clark first game stinker. He had a stinker. Second game, it was against the Phoenix Suns. He dropped 29, 11, and 9. I referenced that because I think that tonight, just a couple of hour and a half from now, you'll have already seen this by the time you're hearing this. The Fever are taking on the Liberty, and I think Clark might have a game. I think she really might have a game. I think that Alyssa Thomas and those girls, DeWanna Bonner, had vets, just said, all right, let's show her a little something. We got to sell out in our home opener as well. Let's make our case, remind folks that we are finals contender and that we haven't missed a beat. And it was rough. That was rough territory to step into. First game jitters, spotlight off your back. 30 tonight. Look, my fantasy team would love it.
I'll say this. I don't know if it happens tonight, but I think I thought the Wimby point was kind of poignant only because we know that that game is coming, right? Even if it doesn't come tonight. Like, we know that that game where she explodes for 8 threes, 9 threes, possibly 10 threes, we know it's coming. So I think at this point, like you just said, bated breath, right? At this present moment, we're kind of just waiting. When is that moment? And unfortunately, for those naysayers, they're going to have all of those gotcha moments until she is able to get her own gotcha moment. But obviously, this is the element of sports that we live for, right? I love the fact that it appears that she's built for it. I do think she's gotten some unnecessary criticisms from some of the vets in the league. I don't necessarily disagree with all of everything that was said, but it do seem like dog pollen at a certain point. But it appears that she's built for it. And because of that, I think more so than we already thought coming in, this talent is, along with her personality, is going to take her to another level.
Yeah, man. We'll expound a little bit on the rest of the league, but this is a moment, bro. You know, we all feel it. We see it on the timeline. We see it on the talk shows,
in conversations with, you know, coworkers and just casuals. This is 100% a moment. So it's dope to feel it and just be present, like you said, as well. I'll introduce my fantasy roster because I'm in a WNBA fantasy league this year. I had to talk to okay. guys.
All right, talk to me. Sorry, wait, wait. How many teams are in the league?
18 league.
18 league, okay. League, 18, okay.
Which, for the W, hey, you pushing it with more than eight.
You are. Dude, all right, let's see what we got.
This is my group that we just wrapped up our men's league. Sorry to toot my own horn. I took home the crown in the men's league. I was like, hey, fellas, hear me out. WNBA league? All right, let's do it. So we are locked in. And this is how we'll transition because I ended up, order came out, pick 5.
Okay.
I said, okay, 5 out of 8. All right. I already knew. So in our men's league, Wembanyama went 10th. He might have went 8th overall. And there was comments in the
That's
the chat.
That's crazy.
What you know that we don't know? Lo and behold, he finished the year as center number 2. Only behind Jokic.
Sounds about right.
So I said, look, bro, I want Caitlin Clark. And she's not going to, I'm not going to get to her on the spin back around in round 2. I'm probably going to reach, if I got top 3 and I had the option of Asia Wilson, Alyssa Thomas, somebody like that, you can't pass on that. I was like, yo, anything after 4? I'm going to go ahead and snatch her off the board.
Did you do just that?
I went ahead and snatched her. She number first overall pick of the Lady Hoopsters. Caitlin
okay.
Clark.
All right. I like it. So I have a question for you. I got to know who went top 4.
First overall. Hey, KC, you bugging, bro. First overall, it should have been Asia Wilson, if you ask me. It was Breonna Stewart.
Okay.
Fair enough. Okay. Reigning MVP. You know what I'm saying? Has a shoe as well. Shout out to Puma. Thought it would have been Asia Wilson. Asia Wilson went 2nd. Okay. Alyssa Thomas went 3rd. Connecticut Sun. She's, man, I wasn't familiar with the game all the way. She's a dog, bro.
She's a dog, bro. She's just quiet about it. That's the problem.
And number 4 was my dog, James. I really thought James was going to swoop Caitlin Clark with that pick because he took some time. Time was ticking.
First I have a name in my head.
And James is from Seattle.
Jewel Loy. Okay, thank you. Somebody did it. Thank God. Because if you took Caitlin over Jewel Loy, I was going to have a problem with that. I was. I'm not going to lie to you. You don't let Jewel fall out of the top 5. That's crazy.
You feel me? So, look, I was relieved because I was like, yes. I get to keep my little strategy at least for now. And I was like, good. Home cooking. He had to go swoop up his girl, hometown.
Smart man.
5. I said, let's do it, bro. I didn't take long. And in the chat, somebody first couple people were saying, who's gonna reach for Clark first? Took her.
I am
emoji with my hand up off the board. And they That's wanted, hilarious. You know, if you wanted to chuckle, the next pick was Kelsey Plum. We all love Kelsey Plum. Make no mistake, no scuffles, no misunderstandings about that. I said, guys. Caitlin's numbers are going to be comparable to Kelsey Plum's this year. We'll see. Maybe I'm throwing hyperbole out there still, but just the nature of the Aces being such a great roster.
Right. And I think that's kind of the dynamic that Kelsey's in, right? Kelsey and Jackie didn't really wake up until the second half of that season opener. So if you go back to, and again, they're playing without Chelsea Gray. So let's say that you get Chelsea Gray back in this fold within the next 2 weeks, right? Again, this is just me throwing something at the wall, seeing if it sticks. But let's say you get Chelsea back in 2 weeks. Now you're integrating her back into offense. Now, you've been to Aces games. You absolutely know there are certain games where, let's just say, they're playing a team like a Phoenix and Jackie is matched up with Diana Taurasi. You'll look up in the fourth quarter, 2 minutes left. Jackie has 8 points. And then 4 games from now, it's Kelsey that has 8 points in the fourth quarter. So I'm not too mad at you for not grabbing one of those Aces guards in the top 5, even top 6, only because understanding what this roster is made up of, you don't necessarily need Kelsey to go out there and give you 20 every night. You're probably going to need that from Caitlin.
And exactly. You know, we do fantasy for real. Same as approach as a running back. You're going to take, not this year because he's got to split duties, but last year you're taking the Ecklers. I took ETN and guys who are like, no, that is the workhorse.
A couple of years ago, I was taking Joe Mixon every year, guaranteed.
Passing game, running game, all three downs. It's like, no, I'm getting this person because they are all, the ball is in their hands. They're finding him. They're in the game plan. Same with Caitlin Clark. It's her world, essentially. And she is a natural facilitator as well. So, and we're, this is a whole different, we play categories for the NBA. We're doing this point system. I'm playing Jackie Young. I had to, I'm going to walk you through these rounds just like quickly. Jackie, bro. So you, like you said, it was sort of casual or sort of easygoing. She didn't necessarily look like she was killing until she looked up at her box score at the end of the game. Jackie Young, I'm playing her in this first round. Bro, she killed me, dog. She dropped 45 or 46 in our fantasy league. Caitlin, for reference, got 31 in her debut. Jackie
Young, I believe she had 14 points in that third quarter. Jackie is Jackie's offense happened so quickly. It's, again, and I hate to say it because the cop-out is her being so quiet, right? And her having quiet points, quiet offense, things like that. But I promise you, man, I was at the game. And about halfway through that third quarter, when the timeout gets taken, you look up at the board, she has 14 points. You realize 10 of them came in this quarter. You kind of look around and go, when did that happen? Like, I remember two threes. When did the rest of this happen?
It's real quiet. Right now, she was the first-ranked guard. She dropped 23, 7, 6, 3 steals, 2 blocks.
Like, on top of guarding your best offensive player on the other side, like, I don't know, man. When you were talking about the draft, I mean, there's some other names that I'm just interested to know. I'm interested to know where Ryan Howard went. I'm interested to know where Aaliyah Boston went. Yes, like, I'm interested to know where Elena Deladon and Diana Taurasi went.
I'm going to just run it. I'm going to just run it real quick. 7th, Arike Ogunwale.
Ogunwale, but by far, I love my aces, and I think AJ has heard me say this publicly before. I love my aces. You guys know how it is. In terms of like a favorite player that I cover on the team, everybody knows my relationship with KP. I just think that is what it is, right? Everybody in that aces locker room know Arike is my favorite player in the league. Everybody, like, it's a known thing, man. Oh. So you're that would have been my first pick. I don't care what it is. So look, I'm definitely happy with that pick.
I wanted Caitlin, and I was like, I'm not gonna get her on the snake. I gotta just reach a little bit. I passed, like, Inescu was probably up for consideration 100%. 8th pick was Nafisa Collier, Minnesota Lynx. 9th pick, round 2. That person also had back to back, so they went Nafisa and then they went Inescu. First pick, second round.
Okay.
Natasha Howard, Dallas Wings, went 10th. Nyeka Ngumuke went 11th overall. They came back to your boy at 12, and I gladly swooped up Ryan Howard.
Okay.
You know how I know Ryan Howard is cold, because me and my bro, we do our little bets and parlays, and we always bounce. Hey, bro, what you think? Blah blah blah. He jumped into WNBA last year. This dude know more hockey than me on the low. He know more baseball than me on the low. And we was talking WNBA. And I think we were talking about the draft and all this and that. I was talking about who got who. And he was like, oh, yeah, Atlanta's nice with Ryan Howard. Oh, yeah. I'm like,
she's a bucket, bro. She's a bucket, bro.
Yeah, nah, bro. I got her. Big Blue Nation, Kentucky, Rookie of the Year 2 years ago. And last night she went off for 25. 2 steals, 2 blocks, beat the Sparks on the road at the Pyramid in Long Beach.
Talk about
went it. Off. Next pick was Chelsea Gray. I didn't take her because she's out right now. By all means, that's the point, God. Stop playing with her. That's up to her. Now, I have heard some conflicting reports on what her availability is going to be like this year. And I think that people might have interpreted what their analysis for the game was and talking about being without Kelsey Plum. But the spin on it was saying that it might be an extended period without Kelsey.
Or Chelsea.
Without Chelsea Gray. And I don't know. No idea. We'll have to wait and see. That's something that I honestly wouldn't hurt this Aces team.
I'll tell you this.
Nuts.
Just in turn, well, it's funny that you say that because Becky said it after the game. Becky Hammon, she was speaking about it. And somebody asked her about an update in terms of Chelsea. And again, Becky is Becky, right? She's been around this game for so long. She didn't give an exact update, but she did say that obviously the team is going to miss her for the time that she's out. But it's an opportunity for other people to kind of get an opportunity to step into a role that they're not familiar with. So she said that Kelsey's going to have the ball in her hands more. Jackie's going to have that ball in her hands more. Players are going to have more rotation minutes, things of that nature. So just from that standpoint, and just from being around this team, the amount of time or the amount that I have over the last couple of years, it sounds like a little bit of time. I don't know exactly what she's dealing with, but at the very least, I know I said about 2 weeks earlier, just in terms of throwing something at a wall, seeing if it'll stick. I probably wouldn't talk to Becky again until probably a month from now. That's just my humble opinion. Unless I see something differently, I wouldn't probably move anywhere less than 4 weeks. And that's, again, this is not a diagnosis. This is not a recovery time that was given to me. This is just based on the way Becky is talking. It doesn't sound like Chelsea's going to be a day-to-day thing.
I feel that. And if anything, it doesn't matter because we see her presence in the locker room, on the court, in the huddle, on the bench.
Indeed.
She's all bought in on this team. After her, Skylar Diggins, 14, Kalia Copper, 15, Courtney Vandersloot, 16. And it's so interesting because, like you said, it's like the mock draft didn't really cut it because it was automatic. It was all bots. So they're just going right off the top. I was like, I wonder who's going to reach for the name, who's going to say, I don't know so-and-so, but I heard of, you know, this person.
Because I still don't know if I've heard Aaliyah Boston yet. Like, I still don't know if I've heard Natasha Cloud yet. Like, it's okay. I'm liking the way this is going.
Boston was the next pick, first pick of round three.
Okay.
Alicia Gray went after that. Brittany Griner went 19th. And she's got an uncertainty right now. I want to say she's not signed yet with Phoenix to a new contract yet, along with possibly recovering from something. But
she's dealing with a left toe fracture. That's why she missed the season opener. But I mean, anything beyond this year, I think right now Phoenix is kind of moving at Diana Taurasi's pace, right? It's kind of hard to make any of the moves around that roster because as long as Diana's there, they're going to try to win now. So I think because of that, BG might be there, obviously, simply because DT is still there.
Yeah. And in our contender talk, we'll see. I don't feel like they're in, look, like, all chips in, win now mode. We'll see. This is the round where I should have went Jackie Young. So Ezzy from Seattle went next. After that, I'm on the clock at 21, middle of round three.
Okay.
Top of the board, Jackie Young, Jonquel Jones, Taurasi still on the board, DeJuana Bonner still on the board. Now, who else is on the board that I made it a point? And like Caitlin was on my list. I want it. I said, look, I might pay the premium just to get them in the draft because if you don't draft certain high-end rookies, you're not going to get them. Whoever gets them is not trading them. I got the first pick. I also got the second pick. Went and picked up Miss Cameron Brink from the Sparks, pick 21. That was also her ADP, like average draft position in drafts. I looked up after the fact to see if I did. I really reached, and it was like 21, 22. And the way center,
I'm mad at you now, man. We would have been going at it in our war room. This wouldn't have worked because DeJuana had twins. I would have been in there like, bro, are we really letting DeJuana walk right now? No, that's crazy.
And she went off first, and she went off game one. Trust me, I made these picks and had to watch a couple of these girls drop big numbers. I should have also doubled down and got De'Erica Hamby, just saying I got teammates. You know, and of course we support Hamby, root for her, familiar with her game, former sixth woman of the year, I believe, maybe an all-star.
Indeed,
as well.
Two times.
So I said, but I don't know what the rotation is really looking like. I passed on her for like two rounds. Guess who I'm facing in round one? And guess who got a double double and dropped 46 on me as well? De'Erica Hamby.
Sounds about right. Sounds about right.
One of those learning curves was, you know, first season where we're really all in with fantasy WNBA and you're learning. It's like, man, why didn't I draft Mike Evans in round five? It's Mike Evans. When has he not gotten 1,000 yards?
That's the way, like, I feel about DeJuana, man. It's like, how are you going to let that fall in round four?
So I took Brink, and last night was her debut, like we mentioned, at the Pyramid in On Beach. and the Sparks lost to Atlanta, who looks like the real deal. And she was in, oh my goodness, she finished with a mediocre stat line, 11 points, two rebounds, four assists, two blocks. What stood out to me was that she hit two threes. I said, ooh, we got range. We got range from day one. I love to see that, because a lot of people have compared her to Rudy Gobert in the women's game. And she's got a lot of length. They called, I watched the full game. They called three atrocious fouls on her, but they're fouls that sometimes they get called, sometimes they don't. And as a rookie, it was just a bad shake. She only ended up only playing 20 minutes, but she's a starter. So that's going to ratchet up. And not being able to play her minutes for one and get Hamby the whole paint. I'm like, dog, this is a double whammy right now. I'm getting hammered by De'Erica. And at the same time, she didn't get a chance to get a real extended run. But a couple blocks were called. She got elbowed in the mouth, offensive foul, and still rejected somebody. And I was like, oh, yeah, I like what I saw game one. I liked what I saw. Same. Give her a month. Numbers are going to be, I think, where we want them to be. And the way the positions are broken down, I needed bigs. So, quickly, rounding out the draft. Next pick, round four. Jonquel Jones came off the board. Jack Young came off the board. Taurasi came off the board. I'm back on the clock. I went Marina Mabry from Chicago.
Okay.
I wasn't the most familiar with her game.
She got
busy in their debut. She definitely got busy. Welcome to the team, Lady Hoopsters. We appreciate you for coming and being on the roster. Angel Reese went 30th overall, middle of round four. And that was ahead of what her projection was. And she also outperformed what her projection was in game one. So I kind of wanted all of them. I wanted Brink and I wanted Reese, but I knew Reese was in the crowded front court. And I was like, I think LA is more all in on Brink. I'm going to roll with that. And Reese looked the part, and, you know, in the minutes that she got in game one, to where it's like, yeah, another month, you know, for long, she'll probably be in the starting rotation. But they got talent as well. She wasn't underwhelming, I would say.
That first half was a little bit. I think, again, like you said before, it's going to be a
learning
curve.
I didn't watch it in real time.
It's going to be a learning curve, obviously, for this group. And kind of what you just said before, one of the reasons why I'm not necessarily looking at Chicago right now is kind of what you just said. I think they are going to at some point move to that Twin Tower type of aspect. And I think once it does happen, before that happens, I think there's going to be a lot of growing pains with this team. I don't feel like they're exactly where Atlanta was last year, but I feel like maybe they are where Atlanta was 2 years ago, where we can kind of see what Tanisha was doing and we were like, they have something. And then last year you were watching earlier in the year and said, they have something. Of course, this team is in the postseason, right? So I think Chicago maybe probably 2 years off from making it back to that level. But again, I think even when they do get back to that level, it's going to be on the shoulder of these young players, and it's going to take them some time to be ready to shoulder that and be ready to wear that weight.
I echo that. Round five, Rekia Jackson came off the board. Nelissa Smith came off the board. Natasha Cloud, 35th. I was on the clock at 37, middle of the fifth.
Natasha Cloud at 35 is crazy.
And, bro, I had to ask myself, I was like, hold on.
Didn't she lead the league last year in assists?
I had to say, is she washed? Why is she still down here? I had to say, like,
Wait till we get to contenders. Wait till we get to contenders, because I'm going to shock a lot of people with the way I feel. But, geez, Louise, man, 35?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, man, this was a real test drive.
Who grabbed her? Who grabbed her? What team grabbed her?
The Charlotte Banshees. My boy Derwin, the GM.
I'm trying to figure out who was his first
pick. The league commissioner.
He definitely saw some gold with that one.
Nah, the Banshees, they got a little squad. The Banshees also got, he took Griner. He also took Reese. He got Skylar Diggins. And his first pick was Alyssa Thomas. So he's got a little squad.
Okay.
Happening over there.
He got some stashy stuffers. I see what he's doing.
And I told him, when I saw his name, I said, bro, shout out to the Charlotte Banshees, bro. Joanna Mann. Duh.
That's hilarious, bro.
I really let one out when I saw the Charlotte Banshees. And I think he went and got their logo, too.
He should have. Absolutely, he should have. You got to go all the way. You can't halfway jump out the window. You got to jump.
Nah. Round five, I went to Tierra McCowan. 6'6", 6'7" center, Dallas Williams.
Asia will tell you all day long. That's a problem. That's a problem on the other end.
And first game, she did exactly what I needed her to do. Double-double, 18, 13, three blocks. Count it. Ariel Atkins went bottom of that round. Alana Smith, not familiar with her game, but she was the number one player in fantasy. Minnesota Lynx went crazy. Round five. This is the thing. It's like, bro, who's expecting this? You know, and like when the draft unfolds, certain players to outplay their draft position. Tina Charles went round six. You saw what she did last night as well. Went crazy. Aaliyah Edwards went round six later on as well. Lexi Brown went that round. I was on the clock. I took Diamond Miller with Minnesota. Sorry to break it to you. He's already off the roster.
I wasn't too mad at that original pick. I'm not too mad at it, honestly.
And honestly, she's going to be on my waiver wire watch. I'm waiting for opportunity. You know, let somebody fall down so you get more minutes. That's all you need. Round seven, Camila Cardoso came off the board. You know, she's dealing with recovery, but it's like, all right, let me go get this for my IR. I was on the board. I was like, all right, I need another big. This is, again, where I should have took the Erica Handy. I took Megan Gustafson because I was like, well, I don't have any aces yet. Shout out to Meg. Shout out to her dog. I forgot her dog's name, but the dog
Pancake.
Is celebrity
as well. Pancake.
You already know. Yes, Pancake. Oh,
God. That's funny.
Sorry to break it to you, Meg. You got the first game. She's off the roster already. I'll circle back to you though, Meg. You know what I mean? And also, she looks like she's a contributor. She's got range. She's not the same player as Keegan Stokes. So versatility to put that big next to Asia. Good piece for the team.
Yeah. Becky says she actually didn't get to play her as much as she wanted in game one. So you can expect
I'm gonna have to spin the block.
Yeah. A little more rotation minutes for Meg is coming in. Is incoming for sure.
Kalani Brown went off the board right after that. I was thinking about her because I have Tierra. I was like, I might as well get her in her backup because they're similar molds. You know, rim runners, rim protectors, Kalani Brown, Sikkim Bears, Baylor University, you know. But she went next. Round eight, Ariel Powers is who I took off of Atlanta. I think she might be off the roster, but she looks like she's got some versatility. Alicia Clark, AC, came off the board at 61. And that's a player where she's like an Iguodala. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I like
what
that comparison.
The box score is going to be.
But I like that comparison.
You want them out there. You just trust them, whatever it is they're doing, decision-making. And, yeah, man, Satusa Bali, not sure what her recovery is like, but she's on IR. She went in the last round. I took Rebecca Allen from Phoenix in the last round. She kind of went off for Phoenix game one. Looked like that might have been a steal for me. Alyssa Peely, rookie from Utah, got drafted.
I'm so excited to watch her play, man. So excited.
So, and that was the draft, man. And I picked up Dejanay Carrington off the waiver wire.
There's a couple names. Yeah, I like that one too. I like that one.
I said, whoa, that's. I said she. And she had a good game for Connecticut in round one. I was like, on night one, and I said, yeah, let me swoop her up. The fellas is gonna try and beat me to it. I said, nope, not happening. So yeah, bro, that was the draft, man. And run the roster back to you: Caitlin Clark, Ryan Howard, Cameron Brink, Tierra McCowan, Melissa Mabry. I went and added Kia Nurse. I got Rebecca Allen, Dejanay Carrington. We got some hoopers, man. And where we stand, like, I'm second most in the league. The only problem is first most is my opponent.
Well, you gotta shoot for the stars and land in the clouds. You're fine.
That was an exercise. I'm lit for the season. I think that Atlanta is going to be dealt with. They're going to have to be dealt with. I think that they're going to be a problem in the East. Of course, New York's going to be a problem. Seattle really stocked up. They're going to be a problem. They were knocking on the door already, as it is. And of course our aces, bro.
I feel like I mean it's a cop out, but I mean New York isn't going anywhere. Connecticut isn't going anywhere. If Washington stays healthy,
I got them written down as well.
Yeah, if Washington stays healthy, I think Washington is still going to be right there. My hot take is that I think Phoenix is going to end up a top four team in this league. The reason why I think that is because of Natasha Cloud going 35 in your fantasy draft. I think, number one, myself included, I remember being one of those big supporters of when that move was made. However, everything else happens during the offseason, you forget about it, right? And then opening night, you remember, oh my God, they have Natasha Cloud. So you got somebody that's willing to guard the other team's ball handler, who's bringing it up the floor on top of somebody.
Former Aces player too, right?
Natasha Cloud? I don't believe so. I don't believe so. I could be wrong, but yeah, maybe. See, this is where I need Salim to be my fact checker. I know she, like I said before, this is somebody who has led the league in assists before. So this is somebody, an all-star, right? So this is somebody who I think people are forgetting about. And keep in mind, guys, with all due respect, Skylar Diggins-Smith is a baller, right? She's a hooper. We understand that. Rock Nation athlete, right? We understand it. Puma athlete. We get it. However, what happened? Oh,
no.
So
Mystics her whole career.
Okay, yeah, Washington Mystic for sure. I think what happens oftentimes is people forget, and I was making my Skylar point, I think people forget, unfortunately, how small this league is, right? This league is going to grow over the next couple of years, right, in terms of expansion. Right, getting into expansion. But because of that, we talked about Atlanta seeing them 2 years ago and saying, they're on to something. They're one of your teams that has to be dealt with this year. So it can change pretty quickly in a W. And because of that, I think what happens is, with all due respect to Skylar Diggins-Smith, going back to that point, she didn't play last year with this group. And that little downfall actually happened inside of Michelob Ultra Arena, where her and Diana Taurasi and kind of the bench kind of got into it. That team was never the same after that. And you can tell that as long as Skylar Diggins-Smith was in that locker room, right? We understand she wasn't physically in the locker room for a while. They asked her to step away, whatever the case may be, that she wasn't physically there. But until that was rectified, that team wasn't going in the right direction. You replace somebody who did not play with Natasha Cloud, and then you get Brittany Griner back, and then you go out and get Kalia Copper. I don't know, man. And a lot of people talk about this game one and, oh, the Aces did this, the Aces did that. The Aces went up big on Phoenix two or three times in that game and let them back in.
And Phoenix took it to them, bro. 100%. 100%. They were not intimidated. They didn't back down. When you thought,
I mean, why would you be intimidated? I mean, Diana Taurasi, and I talked to Becky after the game. We didn't even get a chance to do this during the press conferences. Obviously, it was so packed, but me and her, we talked in the hallway. And I kind of asked her, like, first of all, Becky retired in 2014. Diana Taurasi was drafted in 2004. So Becky was able to play against Diana for 10 years.
Yep.
And now she's been able to watch from a backseat type of role and now coach against her for the next 10 years. And I asked her kind of what impresses her most about kind of the way she goes about her business. And she says she's the GOAT. She's always going to handle her business. But what impresses me most at this stage is how she continues to be effective. Like, she's clearly not the same person physically she was anymore, but now she's smarter. She's going to pick her spots. Diana Taurasi hit 7 threes on Tuesday. Like, I don't think a lot of people are realizing that. Like, she only made 8 shots, 7 of them were for 3. Reggie Miller will tell you that's the last thing to leave you. If Diana Taurasi is going to be the spot up shooter, Kalia Copper is going to be your bucket when you need to go get it, Natasha Cloud is going to run your offense. Oh yeah, and by the way, we have Brittany Griner down low. Daryl, we might be able to be the 5 out there, right? And no disrespect to Rebecca Allen or anybody else that they put in that spot, but it's like, I'm looking around at these 4 stars around me. I'm passing the ball, man.
No, I definitely have her on my watch list. Her name is Natasha Mack, because
Natasha Mack balled the other night, too.
She filled in those spots, because I'm looking at the roster. I'm like, okay, well, who is stepping in for Griner? And they didn't play a big, for real, for real. They kind of went 4 smalls or 4, you know, combos, and we got somebody kind of down there battling.
We got a tweener.
And going against Asia, who's such a force on the inside, and you still
Kia.
Went toe-to-toe, and it's like, okay, yeah, just wait until we do put our rim protector back. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Expansion's going to be lit. Shout out to the Valkyrie. Shout out to the Toronto professional team that'll be coming the year following.
Yeah, and man. Commissioner Engelbert said they're going to try to get to, I believe, was it 16 teams by 28?
That was the goal.
Yeah.
16 is the goal, I think. We'll be at 14 by the end of 26.
But yeah, man, this is the year. This is the year where, you know, they're really taking off. I guess, do we have to talk NBA?
I'm a Pacer fan, so no.
We do. Yes, we do.
For that, so no, not really. Well.
Nope. Let me call you back to the stand.
Oh, man. Also, I plead the fifth.
To lead, Boston has advanced, right? Mm-hmm. Shout out to Boston. They did. They took care of business 4-1. You also got the no Mitchell in games 4 and 5. So you really had a limping to the finish line Cavaliers team that took it to you in your own house in game 2. My knock on Boston was, it's the killer instinct all the way there for you to really beat and stomp out a team that needs to be stomped out in order to beat them in the playoff series. If they face the New York Knicks next round, if they face the Pacers next round, it's not a given to me, because for one, the interior has to be there. If KP's not coming back, yes, they have enough to still get it done, but I'm worried. I'm worried about your rim protection. I'm worried about your rebounding. And I'm also worried about them in crunch time, but it's like, you need to be you for the you know, the aggressive version of yourself every game. Finally saw it. You see it from Tatum in flashes. And if he plays like he does, like he did in game 4 and game 5, without the opposing team's best player, might I add. But if he plays like he did in those two games, which aren't easy games to win, one was on the road and the other one's a closeout. He plays like that, that team's winning the shit, if you ask me.
I mean, keep in mind, last time, I'm sorry, I thought you were saying, will we get it? I thought you were asking me. I thought the last time we were on the pod, we talked about the MVP race, right? And I think all of us damn near picked Shea, but we talked about Jason Tatum, and I said, plain and simple, it just wasn't the sexy pick, right? I don't think Jason Tatum would be awarded for whatever reason at that level until he wins. And you could say it's unfair. You could say, why aren't other athletes held to that same set? Whatever the case may be, that seems to be Jason Tatum's path. It just seems to be he has to win in order to get that. What I will tell the world publicly right now, and you've said it already in terms of, do they have that killer instinct to get past a team that needs to be stomped out at the next level? No disrespect. Maybe a Denver, maybe a Minnesota. How many other teams that are left right now have to be stomped out? Now, with all due respect to my Pacers, with all due respect to the Knicks that are already banged up, Boston's going to the finals. That's just the way I view it right now. What I want to put the world on notice and let them know, Jason Tatum has handled everything with extreme class. If Jason Tatum gets a ring, I don't think he would. But if Jason Tatum went to social media and said it's up all summer, he's earned that right. He's 1,000% earned that right, because he's handled everything with extreme class. He's handled it with probably a certain poise that you don't really expect a kid that young to. I mean, keep in mind, when he came in originally, Kyrie Irving goes down. He takes that Boston Celtics team to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Oh, trust me. Thank you. Yeah.
That
you
was a kid. Reiterate it
to me.
That was a kid. Like,
I had to watch rookie him in the fourth quarter put Bron on a poster and say, yo, is this fool about to send us home in the game 7? And he
made some
comments like he did. And, oh, yeah. He didn't let him get – no. Here. And he makes these comments like he did after winning, closing out Cap Cleveland. He said, look, man, I've been in the second round every year of my career. I'm used to it. Humble That's flex,
tough.
Bro.
That's tough. That is tough, bro. That's so tough. That's so tough. And
I called him the best
like
player
I said,
in the league waiting to happen.
But see, the thing is with JT, I think the thing that we want from him, right, is the consistent. The consistency when it matters most. And I mean, a lot of people talk about his performance in the NBA Finals a couple of years ago against Golden State. A lot of people talk about some of his performances this year. I think what happens is when you understand how dynamic of a player you are, I think at times Jason pushes the envelope in moments when he shouldn't, considering the talent that he has around him. But I mean, again, this is still a young player that we're talking about who's still improving. And at this present moment, appears to still be leading the best team that's left in this playoff run. Probably been the best team all year long. Hell, don't ask my Pacers about it. He's put up 147 against us twice. So it gives you an idea, again, about how dominant this Boston team has been all year. And it wouldn't have been this dominant without JT. So
let's golf clap for Boston here in conference finals again. That leaves us with three series that are tied, not tied, that are at 3-2 entering a game six. Who's going to create a moment? Who is going to either force a game seven and come from behind, or which series is going to seven and we haven't seen the end of so-and-so yet? Is it Shea? Is Shea pulling the rabbit out of his hat and he's taking one in Dallas, taking one at home? Is Ant still in the spotlight back and say, look, you know what? I'm not going out at home. We're going to win this game tonight. And game seven is anybody's game. We beat y'all twice in Denver. We're not scared. Or will it be your boys? They're not done yet. You know, in-season tournament, runner-ups. You know what I'm saying?
That was the closest we were going to get to a title this year, man. I'll tell you this. I don't think we've seen the last of Anthony Edwards. I just don't think Minnesota goes home in six. I do think they go home in seven. But what better moment to create, as you just said? When's the last time we saw Minnesota rocking like this? Like, and I know you know me personally, and you know my love and affinity for KG. It takes me back to that. It takes me back to being in LA rooting for an MVP-led Minnesota Timberwolves team against the vaunted Laker team that nobody in LA would root against. And like I said before, KG was a moment. KG was a feeling. And I get that feeling again when I watch Anthony Edwards play. And I just don't see them going. I see Anthony Edwards going for 40 and hitting a game winner. I'm not necessarily going to say it's a buzzer beater type, but I see him literally dragging and kicking dragging his team, kicking and screaming across that finish line. We're going back to Denver. I know you guys probably want to stay up in Minnesota. We're probably in this. No. We're going to go back to Denver. I do think it's still a close game in Denver, but I think they fall short in seven.
I want to see it, man. I want to see it. And it's funny the way these boxing fight of, you know, playoff series play out. After game two, it's, oh, they cracked the code. You know what I'm saying? Finally. Or, you know, this is your MVP. Game five. This is the MVP.
He's, for a reason.
First all time in PER ahead of Michael Jordan, you know, career. And for reasons that we all have to just deal with now. It's like we don't get to put Nikola Jokic back in the box.
Yeah, man.
He is on his way to being with the all-timers, and we got to deal with him right now.
He's and here,
I
man.
I do believe that somebody is capable of getting that team out of here, man. I genuinely do. It just requires 48 minutes of discipline, 100% effort. You got to make shots. You got to get a little lucky. Like, they're playing at a San Antonio 2000s level in terms of they know what they're doing. Trust is built into the system, and that's the secret ingredient of any successful team.
The only reason why trust is built into that system is because everybody knows their role. And nobody tries to live outside of it. With all due respect to Reggie Jackson, he may be the only one every now and again gets out of his body a little bit. But everybody else, for the most part, right, they stick to their role. Even Michael Porter Jr., we know you're going to shoot the ball 15 times. 11 of them might be threes. It's just what we know what to expect when it comes to you, right? Right. And seven of them will probably be contested. But we just know what to expect when it comes to you. Aaron Gordon, you're going to play the dunker spot. I mean, Nikola Jokic, you're in the high post. Obviously, we're in a pick and pop, pick and roll type of situation. I mean, KCP, we need you to be the 3-and-D guy. I think when you look at the way that these teams are built around the league, right, with all due respect, to the tune that they're playing now in Minnesota, everybody is like, oh, well, they're built the best to beat them because they have three bigs and da-da-da. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think the team that literally, and just in terms of makeup, would be kind of fit to go against them is out the playoffs. And it would be Milwaukee. I look at somebody like a Giannis, who obviously has the length, obviously has the talent. You look at somebody like Brooke Lopez, who can be a three and what's the equivalent for 3 and D for a post player, for a big, but like he's essentially a five that's 3 and D, right? So you look at that, you get a Damian Lillard who can probably, Bobby not even Portis. Probably, right. But you look at a Damian Lillard who, you look at Jamal Murray on the other side, okay, let's say Jamal gives you 40 and you can't stop him. You need somebody to actually go out and give him 42. You got Dame to do that. You got Malik Beasley who can be your 3 and D and kind of offset KCP. That's a team that I literally look at from top to bottom. You talk about Bobby Portis. That's Jay Crowder. Pat Connaughton. Like, we can continue to go through the list. Like, Milwaukee was built for that, in my opinion. I think Philly could be kind of there too. But, again, I don't see anybody else in this particular playoff run that's built, physically built to equip that.
And on all of that, we didn't even mention Chris Middleton. But no, I believe on that last pod. Oh, my
God.
On that pod where it was me, you, and Shiv, post-Super Bowl, post-deadline, all of that, I think you recall, I had said, honestly, I think Milwaukee's still the sleeping giant in the East. That Giannis knew for a fact, hey, look, I got this done. I've been to the top. And I didn't have this guy that can hit game winners for me when I need it and get 35 when I need it. I know for a fact we can do it again. Let's just get there. And then once they got to the postseason, he's got the injuries, tossed the cards out the window. Missed opportunity, but I agreed with
for
you.
Sure.
I was under the same impression as that they were going to have to be dealt with in the postseason. And, you know, things played out how they did. I'm with you, man. So you see Denver, Boston?
I do. I see Denver, Boston. I'm rooting for Dallas, Boston.
I'm rolling with Dallas, man. I'm rolling with Dallas.
I'll go with you. It's not very many times in my reporter brain that I get a chance to be a fan. I'm rooting for Dallas. Screw that. I don't care. I'm rooting for Dallas, man. I'm definitely rooting for Dallas because, A, anybody who knows me knows, regardless of what I thought coming out of the draft, I'm a Kai fan. So I definitely want to see Kai obviously be successful. And Luka, I just think anybody that played, one of my favorite players growing up was Paul Pierce, right? And go back and watch Truth Tapes now. Dog, the amount of space, and people are going to laugh, but when I watch Luka play, minus the deep threes, I see a lot of Paul Pierce. And I know a lot of people may look at me like, what are you talking about? Truth play with so much pace. The pace just wasn't fast. That's the problem. People hear pace and think speed. That's not the same thing.
And you sleep on how physical he is and how easily he can handle physicality with the size. You look at Luka. He looks like a fullback that's like 6'7". You know what I'm saying? Like, not like cut, not...
Word.
You know, shoulders looking ridiculous, but just like a nice stocky dude. And we know,
but on a reverse play,
he wasn't a bodybuilder.
Right. And you made the fullback comparison to Luka, but he's a fullback who can handle that physicality, who can dish out the physicality, but on a reverse route can throw the ball like a Julian Edelman. I didn't even know you could do that. Like, I didn't even know you had that in your bag.
And it's gonna take some wizardry like that to sort of offset what Jokic can do. They have their Slovenian, Serbian sort of chemistry / maybe rivalry, maybe future buddy, let's team up. We don't know what it is yet, but in a playoff series, it's not going to be friendly. That's
at all. At all.
And you know, however you feel about the strategy to offset Denver defensively. Look, you got Lively got fouls for you. You got Gafford that got fouls for you. You got PJ holding down sort of the Aaron Gordon role. These players aren't washing each other out, but hey, man, the most undervalued piece of that team is the running rebel that is taking care of business, yo. Derrick Jones Jr. carving out a role for himself in the league that was not given to him whatsoever. Like, completely.
Luka's going to get that man paid.
Bro. Dog, he's a defender. He's a shot blocker. Already know he plays above the rim. And he's now proficient beyond the arc. And it's like, I don't know, shit. That's a piece that every single team would love to have. A five-star athlete that's got a jumper and will play hard.
Let me also inform every other team around the league. If you don't have a Luka or a guard that's going to attract that attention and set him up like that, don't go get him. Washington, don't go get him. Milwaukee, don't go get him. Like, and let Indiana go get him. Like, teams like that, like New York, probably don't get him. Like, you need a guard, that a point guard that's A, willing passer, and B, somebody who is offensively proficient enough to where they can go and attract some of that attention. Because you look at a Philadelphia, right? They already got a Kelly Oubre who kind of flourished in that exact role this year. So, again, you need the right pieces to go with a Derrick Jones Jr. in order to maximize what he can give you.
They're figuring it out 100%. I'm rolling with them, man. Because again, we didn't mention Kyrie Irving, who already hit the coldest game winner of the season against the Denver Nuggets.
Ooh, hey man, I'm not gonna lie. I seen a start, bench, and cut for it was for the game winning three over Steph for Cleveland's title. It was Dame waving bye-bye to OKC, and it was Kawhi in Toronto. Which one are you cutting? Matter of fact, I'll tell you this. I'll give you my answer first, and I'll let you kind of go with it because it's going to be a wrong answer either way. But you can't cut Kai's because it was literally for a title.
Nope.
And unfortunately, when you get down to the last two – I can't cut Kawhi, man. I'm sorry, bro. But see, it's crazy to cut Dame's. And that's what that was my first answer. Right. I was like, you got to cut Dame's. And then I sat with it and I said, I don't know, man. He blew up that whole franchise with that shot. I don't know, man. That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
Yo, man, it was a bad shot.
I love PG, but he will never be able to erase. Honestly, he will be able to erase it because on the pod, like he said, I was hating. Like, I don't really know what to say. Like, I mean, you're not taught to guard out there. I was guarding out there anyway, and he still hit it. Like, of course I'm going to say that was a bad shot. But at least he opened up and said it was hate.
We're going to get out of here, bro. I had some rumor mill quick hitters. I guess I'll mention two of these on our way out. For one, on the topic of Paul George, PG and Harden, I'm squeezing Lakers in on this episode. I said it on some episode before, but LA, can we make a run at James Harden this year? This summer? Can we do that instead of mortgaging whatever
cap? Do you want him? Cap?
I'll take him next year.
I mean, no disrespect to James. I'm not saying it like you're kicking the tires.
It was a legit question.
The reason why I'm asking that, do you want it in comparison to, if you could have James Harden or Dejounte Murray, who are you taking?
Honestly, I'll take James Harden this summer because we're not having to give up assets to get him.
No, that's perfectly fine. I just want to know playing style. If you could have James Harden or Donovan Mitchell, who do you want?
Oh, you got to take Spider. You got to take Spider.
And I got one more for you. Take
DeJounte Murray because of the defensive upside. And
the last one is Trae Young. Would you rather have Trae or James?
Toss up.
Okay. So two out of the three, you'd rather go with the other guy. I think at the very least, the Lakers. Right. I think at the very least, the Lakers are going to be a lot more inquisitive about the first three. They may end up with James Harden. No disrespect to James, but also, I don't think the Clippers let him go. I think PG is probably out the door. I like PG in Philly. I do. I like PG back in Indy. I do. I don't know if PG likes the idea of going to Indy. I don't. So, with that said, I mean, PG in Milwaukee, if you just upgrade.
Reason why I
feel like it would make, I guess it would make sense.
I would just much
no,
rather.
I'm listening,
Yeah, I would much rather. I don't see us making the play for a star paying off in a title next year, because then we're starting from scratch with 80% of the roster again. We're going to have to let guys go. We got to kind of have to bring in guys for the bottom dollar who will probably take a pay cut and aren't necessarily minimum level players, but they'll come in for sure. And then you got to figure out who you are again for a whole season. Whereas, look, James, we know you can run an offense. What we needed was somebody to kind of do that that won't get abused defensively. Say whatever you want about James Harden. He's not getting abused. And in the fourth quarter, the same way he walked down Dallas for one of those games with the floaters and with the clutch shots, it's in his bag. It's in his bag. Hometown kid, you know, he's not – we saw what he just did in the
He can give you 18 and 10 for a full season
and
easily.
What his trade value was. AD, pick and roll. I like the sounds of it. And
I just don't think.
Now, of course, if they have to work out, if the Clippers forced to sign a trade, turns out to be, and you are coming off of picks and some role players, then okay, then we're back in the same boat as trying to get anybody. But if you're able to sign him and work out some cap flexibility within that, and you still got some assets to move around elsewhere, I just love that outcome. Hypothetical outcome.
How about this?
Better than
the Lakers.
Let's go get Trey.
The Lakers, I feel like they're going to have to, as long as LeBron is there, unfortunately, we're not in that second run back in Cleveland where now he was coming back and he kind of had his pick of the litter to kind of go around the league and start piecing stuff together. We're not in that stage anymore in Bron's career. So I think what people need to do, especially Laker fans, and it's already tough because they're Laker fans, right? And now you're coupling it with LeBron fans. I think what people need to do, they need to curb their expectations just a little bit, only because we talked about somebody earlier. When Dame wanted out of Portland, I heard Laker fans talking about it, and I was like, dog, what are you going to give up? But what I really think, PG going somewhere, like I said before, it's somewhere like a Milwaukee, I think the Lakers need to shift their attention from tier A to tier 2, maybe even tier 3, because are the Lakers complaining if they bring back a Chris Middleton next year? Somebody who, if healthy, will give you a 16, will give you an 18, will give you a 20. Hell, maybe in a game that you need the most, will give you a 35. We've seen a playoff game where he'll give you. God. Right, right. So I don't know if the Lakers. Now, of course, that's not the sexy pick, right? That's not the pick that LA wants to have that huge press conference for, but that's somebody who's vital to winning. What if the Lakers go out and add somebody to the bench like an Eric Gordon? Like, these are players that I don't think the people are thinking of in the offseason, but these are people that the Lakers should be looking at.
If they were able to go get a Mikal Bridges, you know what I mean? Like, I'm here with you in terms of you don't necessarily need to shoot for the stars, and, you know, do you want four quarters versus the full buck? It doesn't really, you know.
Look at how D'Angelo Russell worked for them. They was trying to get Trey last year.
Oh, I'm throwing these things out there just because I'm not the most optimistic about next year or the offseason. I'm not. This was a missed opportunity, and we ran into the buzzsaw that was the Nuggets. And who's to say that OKC or Dallas or Minnesota wouldn't did it the same way? But you had a hell of a season from Anthony Davis. He was healthy up until sort of that little form. You know, he always might get a little knack. He didn't have an injury that wiped him out. Bron was at least at the level he was at still. Now you're asking for that again. And it's like, all right, well, we had two healthy seasons from these guys and kind of blew it.
Right, right. And I mean, that's what makes that's the stuff that makes legends, right? So we may look back to we already do look back to Kobe's last couple of years and say, what do you remember most about those years? Hell, they were dominated by Golden State. You look back to Bron's last years, KD's last years. them boys kept running into the Joker. Like, I don't know, man. So, I mean, this is the stuff that literally makes funny. Legends. It does, man. It literally it makes the storyline. So.
Bronny?
What you asking me?
I don't know. Thoughts?
I love Bronny, man. I love Bronny. I think Bronny, if he wasn't LeBron's son, he stays another year, and I think that does wonders for him. I think he probably doubles, maybe triples his scoring output in college. Now, a lot of people may look at 6 points, 12 points, whatever the case may be, and say, oh, well, how much crazier would the buzz have been around his name? Again, like I said, I think people need to understand that he's Bron's son. So I'm talking about two different aspects of it, right? So the name and the cachet is already going to get him all the eyes in the world. It matters a whole hell of a lot, which is why I think Bronny is entering into this draft, because he's LeBron James' son. So I'm not going to be mad at him for that. I thought one of the things that he said, and this is what I find interesting about athletes, because an athlete would tell you themselves where they'll if you listen to an athlete talk long enough, they'll tell you the reality in their responses. And I thought when he somebody asked Bronny about who he'd like to basically, in terms of like player comps, who he'd like to kind of mirror to affect winning. And one of the names I heard him say, I said, Bronny, that's exactly who you should shoot to be. It was Davion Mitchell from the Kings. That's somebody who's undersized, who probably, if he wasn't a dog on defense, wouldn't be in the league. Let's just keep it a buck. But he's a dog on defense. He can shoot the three on offense. He's probably going to find some time on the play on the court. I look at somebody like a Cason Wallace in OKC, right? Like, that's where Bronny can be.
Yeah. No, Davion Mitchell impacted winning, got a college championship as the lead guard, him next to Jared Butler with Baylor.
Got a summer league Cason title, Wallace too.
Was. Yeah.
Sacramento. Sacktown. Indeed, we were.
Yeah, I think Bronny has self-awareness. I don't think he lacks confidence in knowing who he is. He doesn't compare himself. And also, he's done a great job of living in his own world in the midst of the frenzy that's around him. And another thing about Bronny, he's a gamer. And I mean video gamer, like hardcore video gamer. As a video gamer myself, and from one to another, you make sense of, you know, when you are a hardcore gamer, you don't play games unrealistically. You play them realistically. You make yourself at your close to sort of real height. You make yourself to look like you and play like you. You don't just, no, I want to be like Giannis. No, you don't get to be like Giannis. Like,
exactly.
I believe Bronny knows what he is capable of, and just from sponging next to his dad, I'm not putting any ceiling on him. I'm just saying that I think the floor is higher than people also would like to give him credit for. I think it's fun to make a joke about it, because he averaged whatever he did average. Same with Caitlin Clark. Hold that thought.
Bated breath. And last thing I'll say about Bronny, I don't know why it's even been speculation. Well, it's speculation because the media would be bored, right? And we have nothing to talk about. But let's just call a spade, man. Bronny will be a Laker. Let's just call it what it is. The Lakers are absolutely fumbling the ball if they don't go out and get LeBron, his son. Just not even that. Let's just say it doesn't work. It's not working with Bron by himself right now either. So at the very least, you have the storyline.
I was going to say, and let's call space state, is that he will get drafted, period. Unless they're able to, you know, through front offices and know for a fact that he will not get chosen and that he will be a first person signed, right? You know, once the thing clears, literally that night we'll know that he signed with the Lakers. I believe that the hype machine will hear his name called on draft night. Now, the Lakers have
to, just for the effect,
to be able to call it, right? and the team's buying into, look, this is a second round flyer. This person may never suit up for us anyway. This person may be a Draymond Green. That's the, you know, the gamble you're taking in the second round of drafts. But every team in the league, they're not going to bypass the just whatever comes out of this. And if anything, it's just putting the Lakers in a hard spot. Hey, you want Brownie? Send us some cash considerations real quick. Because we're about to call his name.
Indeed. But like I said before, man, I know we're talking about Brownie, but just in terms of Laker acquisitions, like I said before, you go out, you go get an Eric Gordon, you go out and you go get a Chris Middleton, possibly. Maybe you do go and get a Draymond Green. Like, so now you do have another big in general who can facilitate your offense. So again, like I said before, I think a lot of people are saying some of these names because it's LA, it's La La Land, it's Hollywood, it's the stars, right? But the Lakers can address plenty of issues by not necessarily shooting at the top of that free agent list, but looking around that mid-tier level, you can address a lot of your issues there. I mean, hell, look at Sacramento's run last year. Nobody wanted Malik Monk. Now wait until he hits the free market again. Wait until he hits the free market again. So I think the Lakers don't need to necessarily be looking for that five-time All-Star that they got to pay in 2 years. I think the Lakers should be looking for that vet that not necessarily is on a minimum, but that vet that's been around 8-9 years that's starving, looking for a way to contribute to a winning situation. By the way, I know we're about to end, and I'm about to let you wrap up, but the next time you have me on, I need us to do, we don't have to do three teams, but I need two of them. I need an all-NBA second round teams one and two. I need it. Because Manu is on there, clearly. Joker is on there. Draymond's on there. But we need down this list, man. We need to go down this list. We can definitely pick 10. I know we can.
Michael Redd's on there.
Hey, man, Olympian. Got some gold to bite into. So I'm with you, man. We can go through it. Chris Middleton is a G leader, dog. Like, we can go through this.
Hey, I'm with all the callbacks for sure. So, Rob Pelinka, man, you are on the clock, brother. Let's see what happens. That'll do it, bro. NCAA 25 comes out, and every day you wake up, we're a day closer to that game coming out.
Indeed, brother. Man, and once it comes out, I'm out of the loop for a good week. Just leave me alone for a good 7 days. Let me just figure out what's going on.
Oh yeah, it's time to go build your program. Yeah, it's time to get that program rocking.
For sure. I'm going to UNLV and I'm going crazy.
Bro, I'm making my high school. I'm turning everything, bro. I'm creating myself. I'm getting the Heisman. I'm paying myself handsomely to come to my organization.
Quickly.
My university. I'm gonna get these living rooms. I'm gonna talk to these moms.
I'm gonna go buy me a Hellcat. Right, bro. I'm hey, going, man, bro. It's it, going dog. Up. It's going up, brother.
Hey, I might even throw some under the table money, bro, for what it's worth. Hey, bro,
just a little bit. Just a little bit.
This is for me to you. This is for me to you, big dog. You feel me?
That's funny. That's
shout out,
funny.
Bro. Thanks for coming on, dog. We appreciate it as always, man.
And always, brother. I appreciate
to,
you.
To the postseason. Cheers to the WNBA season. And we're going to catch each other at an Aviators game real soon, too.
Let's do it, man. The boys are intent. Matter of fact, I'm 3 hours away from a game right now, so I'm probably going to unwind for another hour or so, and then I'm headed straight to that game.
Yes, sir. All right, brother. You listening? We appreciate you for listening. Like, follow, and subscribe. Of course, don't be a stranger. Interact with us on socials. And until next time, folks, thanks for coming. We'll see you later.